Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
If you have your Bibles with us tonight, look with me in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And I'm going to preach to you tonight on this topic here. The preacher's actually heard this before. I was thinking about it. I actually gave this as a devotional there in the sheriff's office about a little over a year ago. And I was thinking about the youngins this week, and I know how much fun they had in that cabin and how close that they got together, but also how close they got to the Lord. But then I also know this, the devil don't like it. The devil don't like it. And I was going one direction, and I was kind of bouncing back and forth with these two different messages. And this afternoon, sitting there at the house, I got settled down on this, and I know this is where the Lord wants me tonight. And so I just want to be obedient unto him tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. When you find your place there in verse number 1, please stand with me for the reading and reverence of God's word. I'm going to read a few verses to you and then give you a quick thought here, and then we'll go to the house. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." Lord, I thank you for what you do for us tonight, God. I pray, God, that I stand in the place, God, that in the flesh, God, I'll fail you, God. I'll miss you by 100 miles. But, God, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that you'd reach down, God, and just center our thoughts for just a little while. And, God, I pray, God, it will be a help, God, to your people tonight, God. And, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll just help us tonight, God. Speak to our hearts. God, I pray, God, that you would just look after us tonight, God. We thank you and praise you for all that you do. God, if there's one here lost tonight, I pray, God, that you'd save them before it's everlastingly too late. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Everybody knows this story where we're at here. I really don't have to go in deep detail here. This is where David had his great sin there with Bathsheba. And I was thinking as I was preparing for tonight's message that, you know, there is one. If there's ever a time that the devil is going to be on the prowl, is right after a great victory. And youngins, I want to tell you this right here. You had a great victory this week. You had a great victory. Some of you gained victory through salvation. Some of them maybe through temptation, whatever it may be. You gained a victory this week. But I promise you, Monday is tomorrow. School's going to start around the corner. Work's going to come back to you. And the devil's on the prowl. He's out there. He's looking for you. The Bible says he's like a lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And can I tell you what he's done? He's put a target on you. He's put a target on me. He's put a target on your mom and daddy. He's put a target on your pastor. He's put a target on your youth pastor. He has put a target on this church because he didn't like what happened last week. And so I want you to tonight, I come to this right here to wave some red flags and just be alert on a few things. And I want to preach on this thought right here, that critical moment before sin. That critical moment before sin. Y'all have heard the preacher talk about this a lot. I'm sure you have. He every once in a while, he has to go with the sheriff's department and do a critical incident debriefing. How many of y'all ever heard him say that or something along those lines? And every law enforcement officer, more than likely at some point in their career, will come into a critical moment, a critical scene. It may happen this week. I mean, it very likely could take place this week at a critical moment and critical incidents. When I was studying this, I remember I watched, I love watching law enforcement videos because I could never do it. Y'all get to there in a little while. Because I could never do it, but I love watching them, Brother Blake. I love watching it take place and seeing different things happen. And I watched a video a long time ago, and it was actually an incident that happened here in North Carolina. And an officer, it was an officer-involved shooting, and they pulled over a car, and basically the guy just got out and started shooting at the cop. Well, the cop instantly, you know, that guy fires about 7 rounds. The cop comes out, fires 2 rounds, and ends the problem. And then immediately following that, he goes right into life-saving tactics. And if you watch that video back, you may have seen it before, but if you watch it, it's textbook of what that officer does. He does everything by the book. There is nothing that he does wrong in that situation. And it's because he was prepared. And I want to say something tonight, youngins and adults and everybody else that's here tonight. The devil's after you. And he wants you. Now's the critical moment. You're not going to defeat sin tomorrow when that temptation comes by you. You're going to defeat it now. You're going to defeat it when you wake up in the morning. You're going to defeat it on your way to work or whatever you have to do tomorrow. That's how you're going to defeat it. But I got to thinking about those critical moments, and we all have those critical moments before sin. David here is at a critical moment before sin. David, you know, we know he should have been in the battle. We know that. We also know he's human and he gets tired, because I don't know about y'all, but y'all are probably wore out. The preacher, he needs some Red Bull. He ain't had enough Red Bull in his system. All right, that's what he needs, and he needs it pumped in his IV now. He's getting too old. But anyway, we all tired. We're all wore out, all right? And I don't say this right here. We a lot of times we look at this, and myself included, and I say, shame on David. He should have been in the battle. But at the same time, I go, look, Hoss, he tired. You know, he tired. And he got wore out, and he stayed back, and he let his guard down just for a moment. Can I say this right here? He didn't sin by walking out on that balcony that night. I'm going to go as far as say this right here. He didn't sin at the first glance. He had an opportunity to retreat, but he chose not to. He chose not to. He did not perform in that critical moment. Can I tell you what happened to David? He fell into the same mistake that I'm afraid some of you may be in right now. He was living too critically close to sin. He was living too critically close to sin. I was a kid one time, man alive. You know, I still to this day don't know what alcohol tastes like. I ain't got a clue. I don't know what drugs are like. Don't know what a cigarette's like. Let me rephrase that about the cigarette. I forgot about, there was a time. There was a time, I got to tell this. I was sitting, my aunt had went to the bathroom and smoked a cigarette. I went right in behind her and after she got done, and it was still sitting there smoking. And I remember sitting there thinking, one time, never hurt you. All right, I grabbed that thing, and it was just brown. I didn't know why it was brown. Come to find out, the whole cigarette was already smoked, and it was just the filter of a Camel. That's all that was left. Josh, temptation overtook me. Hard as I could hit it like that right there, and I thought, I was probably 8, 9, maybe 10. I may have been a little older now. I can't remember exactly how old I was. I thought I was going to die. I said, why in the world would anybody do that? And so that's the only thing. I don't know what it's like. I never did that. Never did any of those things. Never did any of those quote-unquote big sins. But can I tell you what I really wanted to do? If that was the sin line right there, here's where I wanted to live. I may not have wanted to cross over to that side, but I wanted to live right on the edge. I wanted to live so close that temptation was just right there. That's where I wanted to live at. And I'm afraid that kids these days are even closer than we could ever get, because we know how to cover it up now. We know how to delete things. We know how to hide things from mom and daddy. We know how to cover it all up because the ones before y'all has taught y'all very well. Can I just be honest? That's what happens. And I'm going to say this right here. Too many times we live critical. I thought about this. Anybody ever heard of a nuclear reactor? I don't know nothing about them, but I looked a lot of stuff up about it. And I feel like that's how we are with sin. A nuclear reactor reaches critical when each fusion event releases a significant number of neutrons to sustain an ongoing series of reactions. Y'all think I'm really smart now, don't you? That was Google right there. But what it is, basically, when a nuclear reactor reaches critical, what's going on inside of it is absolutely going crazy. And if that ain't like some of us today, we know what we should do, but we do it not. We know where we should be at. We know the things that we should be talking about. We know the people that we should be hanging out with, but yet we catch ourselves wanting to. We may not cross that line, but we want to lean over that line. Can I tell you what happened to David here? He got caught leaning. Y'all know I love baseball. And one thing that's happened since I've become pastor is there's a lot more baseball analogies that come from the pulpit. But one thing that happens to a runner when he gets on first base is he wants to steal second. He desires that, so he chances that pitcher so much. And every once in a while, that pitcher spins around, picks him off at first, and he gets caught looking. And I tell you what, if you live on that edge of sin, if you live there long enough, I promise you, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but it will happen. It will happen. And when it's got you, it's got you. I want to look at a few things here for a way of introduction tonight about what Satan wants to do to set you up for failure. There's a few things that Satan does, and he's doing it today, that he wants to do to set you up for failure. Number one is this right here. Satan will overwhelm the culture with sin. Can I tell you what's happened to us as a church? We have been desensitized to sin. It has been thrown at us so much. It's been put in our face ever since we were children. I'm just young enough, and aka old enough. I remember the Super Bowl with Janet Jackson. And I remember that happening and how that was like the worst thing that's ever happened on TV. Now it's every other week. And now it's oops. It's not that anymore. It's because we've gotten, Blake, you can't get tickled over that. But I'm just picking on it. But that's what's happened. We've been desensitized to it. It don't bother us anymore. It don't bother us anymore. It does not bother us whatsoever. So that's what Satan, number one, Satan's goal is to overwhelm the culture with sin. Now, let me look right here. He will sway the world with fleshly desires, a.k.a. he will bait the trap. That's what Satan does. He is overwhelmed. The world has got so much fleshly desires that even it's crept into the churches that all of our churches, that all we want is the flesh to be built up. Is the flesh to be built up so much? Can I say what? You better be careful with your flesh. Remember, you ain't got your glorified body yet. That this flesh still, think about it a minute, what this flesh wants. Your soul saved, but your flesh, it ain't got there yet. You better be careful, all right? You better be careful. Your flesh loves that attention. Social media, I preached on it this morning. I'm not really preached on it. I kind of taught on it in Sunday school. I probably preached on it. But social media, what has it created? It's created this me, 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 me. It's what can I do? Look what I've done today. Look, now you can't live without it. You got to have it. It's become part of our life. The trap has been baited. But then also what he does is he taunts us with accusations. And that's what Satan will do. He taunts us with being, well, you're just like them. You're just like the world. You're just like them. Won't you just join them? I want to give you a couple of things tonight, and I don't have my watch on me tonight. I was preaching this morning, and my watch heard me say something, and it started playing a song. And preacher, I was doing what you always done. I was, it was back yonder, recording, and Miss Morgan, she had to take off running because we don't know what song it was. We still don't know what song it was. It was bad. It was terrible. Right in the middle of preaching. So needless to say, I've taken my watch off. And it's not here tonight, so I ain't got a clue. Y'all are in trouble tonight. There's another thing I've learned, too, about being a pastor is and when you're in youth church, you kind of got a timetable. The preacher keeps up with time for you. When parents come, you shut down. There ain't no parents coming to the church today, all right? I can't look out the window and see what time it is. I got to keep up with it, all right? We ain't got out before 12, Caitlin, and I don't know when, is it? But it'll be all right. But anyway, I want to look at this tonight and what we should do during that critical moment before sin. It's not what you're going to do tomorrow when you're faced with that temptation. It's what you're going to do now. It's what you're going to do living up to that moment of critical thinking. I was thinking about those critical reactions. And I remember those things. When I gave this devotion in the sheriff's office, preacher may remember this, but I believe it was Lowe that came up and said, after we got done, he was talking to us, and he said, I we had something like this happen one time before, and he's talking about training. And they said that when they were training, when they'd get up on the line to qualify their gun or to shoot or whatever that they were going to do, they would all, aim down range and go to fire their weapon. And during training, what they would do, they said, if your gun jams, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and we'll come help you, and we'll get the gun unjammed. We don't want you trying to fix it, makes sense, and then point the gun at somebody and somebody gets shot. Well, they trained all these officers to do that. trained a lot of them to do that. And they said during a firefight, they learned that they were reverting back to their training. Their gun would jam during a firefight, and guess what they'd do? They'd raise their hand. When he said that, my mouth hit the floor. My mouth hit the floor. But you got to realize, you don't know how you're going to act in those critical moments like that. When things shut down, we're talking about it this morning, talking about how somebody that's a nurse or a doctor who knows all this, but until it comes to their kid, when it comes to their kid, they just shut down. They just shut down. Can I say this right here, that critical moment, what's going to happen if you don't train properly? Can I say that? If you don't train properly, then you're going to fail in that moment. You're going to fail in that moment. Let me give you a couple of things right here, three things real quick, and then we'll go home. Number one, what do we need to do during that critical moment? This is elementary, okay? It's nothing deep, all right? It's just something I want to give you tonight. A couple of things you need to do. You need to remember the Father's words. Remember the Father's words. In 1 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 3, David is going off the scene. And I do believe this right here, and preacher, I've tried to see anything that I'm wrong on this, and I can't find anything. But I believe at the end of David's life, David did not want Solomon to make the same mistakes he's made. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that famous verse that Solomon says there in Proverbs, "Lean not, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." I think that was something he heard from David all the way growing up. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that's what we see from Solomon is things David taught him. And I think one of the things that David taught him was this: remember the Father's word. In 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 3, it says, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies." He goes and say there, as it's written in the law of Moses. What David was trying to tell Solomon right here is he was saying, listen to the Father's word. Can I tell you what, kids? Can I tell you what, adults? Can I tell you what, older generation? Can I tell you what, babies? You can't get enough of God's word. You can't get enough of the Father's word. I remember when Morgan was pregnant with the boys, and I remember walking in the bedroom or in the living room there, and she'd have her Bible out, and she's reading out loud. And I thought, she's crazy. And I realized what she's doing. She's reading to the baby. And can I say this right here? They're never too young to read to them. They're never too old to read to them. I remember sitting at Pa's bedside right before he drew his last breath, and we'd reached the Bible. And it's about the only thing that calmed him down was just somebody. It was that or the inspiration singing, one of the two. It was either the inspirations or somebody taking an old King James Bible and reading it to him. Can I tell you what's going to defeat sin tonight? It's not going to you being some super Christian that doesn't exist. But can I tell you what it's going to be? It's going to be you being a weak Christian that loves their Bible. Can I tell you, youngins, it's going to help you when you get back to school. It's not going to be some great TikTok that gives you inspiration to make it through. No, it's going to be you on your knees begging God to keep you right through the Word of God and through the things of God. Can I tell you what we all need tonight, church? It's some people that will get a burden for the Word of God and to have a burden not just to read it, to check off on a box that you completed your daily reading, but to apply it to our life, to not just be hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word also, and let it just take us and take us over, and let us be crazy in the world's eyes over the Bible. But that's what we need tonight. We need to be in God's word. David was ending his life, and he was begging his son. He's saying, "Son, I've lived this life, I've done these things, I've messed up. But you just need to just stay at the Father's word. Dig in God's word and watch what he does for you." Psalms 119:11 says this: "Hide in my heart." We're going to hide it in my heart. I'll never forget my grandpa, probably arguably one of the greatest Christians I ever knew this side of eternity. My grandpa, he was a man that nobody knew about him. Just a very few people knew who Wendell White was. Very few people knew. But he was a man that loved the Word of God so much. I'll never forget. He ended up with dementia later in his life. He ended up with it. And I remember I was mowing the yard one day, and I was out there saying, "There goes mowing." I kept them lines straight. Now I got a zero turn. I ain't got to worry about that thing getting stuck no more. But anyway, I was out there mowing, and Pa called me, and he said, "I'm looking for a verse of Scripture, and I can't find it." And he was trying. I can't remember what he was saying. I wish I could remember the verse, but he was confusing me is what he was doing. So I ended up just getting off a mower, and I said, "I'm coming in your house." And I went in there, and we finally figured out he was taking multiple verses and mixing them up, and, And we finally figured out what he was wanting to say, and we got to the verse that he was wanting. He was so happy. And Nanny, while Pa was digging, he went to the other room, dug for a commentary or something. Nanny said, all he ever does is read his Bible. She said, from sun up to sun down, that's all he'll do. She said, he won't even watch Westerns anymore. She said, all he does. And Pa came back in there, and he sat down, and a tear went to his eye, and he said, I'm sorry that I had to bother you. And I said, you didn't bother me. You didn't bother me at all. He said, I'm finding myself forgetting the Word of God. He said something that changed my life forever. He said, if I forget who you are, somebody will tell me. He said, if I forget who she is, somebody will tell me. He said, but it ain't nobody's responsibility to remind me what the Word of God says. Can I tell you what we need to do tonight, church? We need to have a burning desire for the Word of God. Youngins, you want to see things big in your life. You ain't going to find it on a ball field. I've been there. I've been there at the bottom of the ninth, bottom of the seventh, depending on which league you're playing in. And I've been there standing on the mound with a ball in my hand, throwing the last pitch, winning and losing. I've been at the bottom of the dog pile. I've been there when my buddy sent up to the home plate and hits a walk-off home run, and we dogpile him on the home. I've been there, okay? There's a nothing that's comparable to the things of God. There is nothing comparable to when you see your own youngins get up and start worshiping God. There's nothing comparable to when you see people that you've invested in begin to grow and mature in the things of God. There is nothing comparable to it, church. Nothing. Not one thing. I promise you, youngins, it ain't going to be found on a ball field. It's going to be found in a book. Your pastor, if you've ever got a Bible from your pastor, it's going to say this one-liner. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You need to memorize that. You need to hold it close to you because it's so true. It's a lifelong lesson that you should never forget. Number one, remember the Father's word. Number two, recognize your friend's worries. Recognize your friend's worries. We know the story here. David, he goes and he sends his servants there to go get Bathsheba. And one of the servants says, he pauses. He says, listen, is this not one of your mighty men's wife? Is she not somebody that's high importance to you, that her family don't care, that you're just going to defile her like this? What are you doing, David? And David ignored the worries. He ignored the worries of his friends. I think it's interesting. It says here that he said, and David sent to inquire about the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her. But what it says right here, and David sent messengers. Look right there. So when David sent and inquired, I don't know if it was the same people or not, but when they got out of it, he just went to a different crowd. I don't know if that's what happened here. It may have been the same crowd, but regardless, he just kept going and kept pushing. Can I tell you what? You got a friend here. I'm talking to you tonight as a friend. Watch out. I'm not telling you up here to pick on you. I'm not up here just to call you out. I'm not. I'm here. Watch out. Watch out. I've seen some. If David the Great could fall, I promise you, you'll fall too. You think about that just for me. If David could fall, you'd fall too. I'm telling you, God will put people in your life to warn you. He'll put up red flags in your life. And can I say tonight, it concerns me that maybe tonight is the night that you're getting a warning. You're getting a warning tonight. I don't know who this is tonight, but I do believe with all my heart I'm right where God wants me to be. And I'm afraid I may be talking. I know I'm talking to people. Can I say it's true? I'm talking to every individual in here this evening. Because every one of us is going to be at this moment at some point. You may not be leaning over the line, but you're still going to be tempted with sin. Don't think just because you live so far away from sin that you can't be tempted with sin. Can I say this right here? The further you live away from sin, the better sin looks. I'm just being honest. I'm not saying live closer to it. I'm just telling you, the further you are away from it, the better it looks, because you've not experienced it. You've not seen the heartaches of it. You've not seen the trials of it. Why do you think advertisements work so well? Because they know what they're doing, just like the devil does. The devil knows what he's doing. I'm going to say this right here. If you don't have somebody that you can trust to tell you to stop or to throw you a warning, you need to find somebody. You need to find somebody. Can I say this right here? Young people, don't yoke up with somebody that's going to tiptoe around the tulips with you. Because if a train's coming down the tracks and I don't know it's coming, I don't want somebody to look at me and just whisper, no, I want somebody to scream at me, "Preacher, Brother Heath, get out of the way! Get out of the way!" And can I tell you what? Sin is coming down the tracks and it's heading your way. And I'm here tonight to tell you to get out of the way. Junk that friend. Junk that social media post. Junk that social media account if you have to. Can I tell you what? I've learned something. If you take and hold your finger over the delete app on your social media, it'll go. It'll start wiggling on you. All right? Y'all like the wiggles, all right? And then if you go up to the very top right-hand corner, there's this thing that looks like an X. And if you hit it, there's a warning sign that comes up. Right? That's the devil sign, all right? He's saying, hey, don't do it, all right? Hit delete anyway, all right? Can I tell you what? If there comes a day where you're more solid and you feel like you can pick it back up and you're more mature, guess what? When you download it, your account will be there. Everything will still be. They say that there's still MySpace pages up. Somebody go find mine and delete it, please. All right? I don't need nobody seeing that. All right? I wasn't right with the Lord back in them days. All right? Somebody find it and delete it for me. All right? But anyway, what I'm saying is this right here, is if you can't handle it, get rid of it, but find those friends that'll tell you. You need to delete your Facebook. You need to delete your TikTok. You need to delete your Instagram. You need to quit sending those messages. You need to quit doing these things. You need to quit hanging out with that crowd. You need to stop. I'll never forget. Mama was the hardest on me. Now, she was my mama, but she loved me, all right? She was the hardest on me. At 25 years old, I was getting married. And it was nights, just a few days before we was to get married. I had an 11 o'clock curfew. And me and Miss Morgan, we were discussing a few things. I was explaining why I was right, and she was telling me why she was right. You see which one won. She did. All right, but anyway, we was arguing, and I'll never forget. We're sitting there, and rings on the finger, son. I mean, she's going to be mine in a day or two, all right? But all of a sudden, here comes a blue Kia Optima 2006, drives by Debbie and Joe's house. And at that moment, I knew that it didn't matter what was happening here, I'm more afraid of that than I am of that, all right? And I said, here we go. I got to go. I back out. The Kia Optima headlights are behind me. I drive home in my truck that I'm paying for, putting insurance in. Everything on that's mine. I walk in the house. You know what Mama does? At 25 years old, Brother Stan, my head hung down. I walked down and put that in. At the time, I thought, this is childish. Thank God I had a mama that cared. Thank God I had a friend. Don't forget your parents are your best friends. Don't forget that. They ain't nobody going to love you no more. All right? There's going to be some that come along the way that may seem like they do, but a parent's love's unconditional. Trust them. Recognize your friend's worries. Number three, and I'll be done. Here's the most important one. You need to remember the Father's word. You need to recognize your friend's worries. But lastly, you need to react to that familiar whisper. Can I say this right here? Football season is going to come around the corner. Football season, when it comes to high school, involves parties. And they're fun. You're going to want to go. Be aware of what's going to be there. You're going to be tempted. And can I say this right here? You're going to be tempted. And when you're there, Jesus himself is not going to descend from heaven and stand between you and that alcoholic beverage. He's not going to. Can I say this right here? He's probably not even going to do anything to stop the party from happening. Which he could. He has all abilities to. He could stop you from even going near it. But he's not going to. He's going to allow you to get right to it, and he wants you to make that decision. Can I tell you, God himself We could have had a Christophany right here in chapter number 11. The Lord could have came down and descended on that rooftop and blinded David. He could have, but he let him go just to see what he would do. He knows what he's going to do, but understand. Understand what I'm saying. You're not going to see this big red sign that tells you this is a sin. You're not, but what you are going to hear is you're going to hear that still small voice. You're going to hear that still small voice that's going to speak inside of you that's going to say, you know this is wrong. You know this is not right. It's not going to be loud. And what I'll say, I'll even go as far as say this, when you partake of that sin, it may even stop. It may. It may stop. It once you, because the sin's already happened. It may stop. Can I say this right here? Be prepared during that critical moment. Be prepared during that critical moment. It's coming. You just had a great victory. You just had, I'm talking, that service Tuesday night that we was able to come to, that heathen over there at that church we go to, I don't know who's that pastor over there, but he wouldn't move the service Wednesday night. I don't know who that guy is, though. He's a weirdo. But anyway, he didn't move their service. But that service Tuesday night was absolutely phenomenal. Brother Rick Gravely, I'm talking, he was right up. It was good. It was good. I'm telling you, you just had a great victory, but the devil don't like it. The devil don't. And I'm going to tell you what my concern is that it may not be, he may not get the whole church. He may not get the whole youth group, but he may get one. And youngins, I don't want you to be that one. I don't want you to be that one. I think of tonight, and I know we're live feed, I'm not going to give any names. But there's a man that comes to my mind right now. A hero of mine. A man that I watched stand and preach. I'm talking about a man that could probably preach as good as anybody in the country. Probably knows more about the Bible than anybody I've met. But he wasn't prepared when that critical moment of sin came in his life. He lost his family. He doesn't even want to have anything to do with it. Can I say this right here? You don't live above sin. You're not better than sin. You're not going to laugh your way and joke your way out of sin. You're going to have to be prepared in that critical moment.